Welcome now to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and hello, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm just fine and happy to see you again after we had to do a little calculating, figure out when the last time you were here.
I know. It's so funny. I was saying it before that Madison, Wisconsin made such an indelible mark on me that it feels like I've been here many, many, many times in the last 15 years. But I think actually, because the first time I came was literally, I took the first flight out of LaGuardia after 9/11 to Madison, Wisconsin. And I had flown back to New York City from Kansas City on September 10th. So I woke up in New York City to the World Trade Towers coming down. And was grounded because they shut the airports,
sure,
you know, for four
down.
And a half days. And so then flew to Wisconsin, and I found Madison, it was just so healing, and it was just such a beautiful town that sort of embodied the best of American ideals and everything that we were fighting, this war on terrorism, we were fighting for towns like Madison. And so it seemed to make this indelible impression on me, and so I feel like I've been here many times since then, but I think I've only been here, the last time I was here was 5 years ago.
Yeah, with the Eroica
Trio. Playing a recital. And I don't think I've been here more than those two times.
It seems like a lot. Well, I think that's a good thing.
I know. It is good. But interestingly, then, here I am here again to play with the symphony just after the Paris attacks.
And just by chance, it's a French concert.
I know. Well, I'm very glad that it is. Actually, I had a recital in New York City on Friday night, and I had not been planning on playing any French music. But when I realized what was happening in Paris, I ended the recital with actually part of the Saint-Saëns concerto, since I had it up, to his homage to France and French music and the French people.
And Sarah will be playing this weekend with the Madison Symphony concerts Friday night and Saturday night and then Sunday afternoon. And her part of it will be the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1.
And also two of my own arrangements of two fantastic tangos by Astor Piazzolla.
I noticed those were in your repertory.
Yeah, Liber Tango and Oblivion, which is so gorgeous.
You're playing those with the orchestra?
Yeah, I arranged them for cello and string orchestra, and so we're going to be playing those as well.
People love that Piazzolla.
I know. He's just so great.
Can't get enough of him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back a bit. Are you still playing at all with the Eroica Trio?
I sure am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like every other week. Really, it's very funny. I was thinking this past month, I started the month off playing Dvorak Concerto in St. Louis and Illinois, and then went directly to Costa Rica to play Beethoven Triple with the trio, and then went to New York to play a solo recital in New York, and came here to play Saint-Saëns and the Liber Tango and Oblivion with Madison Symphony.
You feel a little bit like a pinball sometimes?
I do travel a lot, but I really enjoy it, and I love the fact that I get to go back and forth between playing with the trio, playing recitals with piano, playing concertos with orchestra, with the trio and with myself, just myself, and playing solo recitals. I played all six Bach cello suites at Carnegie Hall last March, and I've recorded all
sold out, too, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody loves that stuff, too.
I know. Amazing. Actually, I had the nicest compliment anyone has ever paid me. This young college student from NYU guy comes up to me, and he goes, "Wow, my girlfriend dragged me to this this concert." I thought to myself, a girl, a cello, and a chair, what could possibly be more boring? And he goes, "But wow, like you would talk about the pieces and then you play them. And it was exactly what you said. I could hear it and it was amazing." He goes, "I loved it. I feel like energized and I want to go home and like, you know, do quantum physics while I'm listening to your Bach CDs." You know, it's so cute.
You never know what they're doing while you're playing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So,
well, speaking of the Eroica Trio, you have several CDs that you've produced over it must be close to 20 years now.
I had, almost, yeah.
This is one from the late 90s, Dynamite version of the Dvorak Dumky Trio. And this is the fourth movement of it. The cellist here, my guest today, Sarah Sant'Ambrogio, with the other members of the Eroica Trio, Erica Nikrenz and Adela Payne.
Thank you.
were talking about Dvorak just now and how it can be very, very good or not all that good, at least in my opinion.
Yeah. So I was just saying, when I was just playing the Dvorak concerto a few weeks ago, and I've played that piece a million times, but every single time I play it, I get the hairs raise up on the back of my neck. I get teary just even before I enter in the first movement. I start to tear up because it's so extraordinary. It's just unbelievable. Some of the things are just like, it's astonishing that he could write a piece that dramatic, that operatic, really, and that he chose to write it for the cello that has such a great, huge emotional range.
The singing voice.
Yeah, but it also, at the time, was really not kind of, it was sort of a bit the poor stepchild of the violin, you know?
And
Dvorak, he wrote his greatest concerto for the cello, not for the violin, not for the piano.
That's true.
The violin is nice, but it's nothing to write home about. The piano is interesting and quirky, but again, not performed very often and nothing to write home about. And then the cello concerto is like this massive, monumental work of utter genius.
And the funny thing is, he was inspired to write that by a concerto by a composer whom we don't think of as being one of the
greats,
you know,
Victor Herbert. I know.
Think of him as an operatic composer.
Exactly. Well, and I also think that the Dvorak cello concerto is extraordinarily operatic in actually the way that it presents it, the soloist, really as an opera star. You know,
is it possible to get too emotional, to get to, as a player, get emotional to the point where it actually gets in the way of
yes,
the play?
Yes, yeah. And yeah, and then the Dvorak is actually one of the few pieces that I have to consciously remind myself to keep control, because I will get so emotionally involved that I start to lose a little physical finesse. And then that gets in the way of the music. You want to be feeling it. You want to be able to transmit it to the audience, but you don't want your emotion to get between the music and the audience.
Oh, yeah. So in a sense, how metaphysical do we want to get here? You're kind of a medium between
right.
the composer and the audience. Yeah,
you're
right.
really a conduit between from the composer to the audience. And you really want to have the emotion of whatever you're trying to project permeating your whole being, but not to the point where it's taking over. So you have to constantly be balancing on that razor's edge.
Technique and emotion.
Yeah. So it's and with the Dvorak, because it's so powerful emotionally, I find it one of the more difficult pieces to be able to hold that balance always. So I was very happy, actually, these last few performances that I did this month. I really felt like I got right on that razor's edge and just was right there, which was great.
Well, this is a piece that, again, you recorded with the Eroica on another, actually a slightly earlier CD, and it has plenty of emotion in it, but it's maybe a little more understated.
Yeah.
But
oh,
it's heartbreakingly
beautiful. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heartbreakingly beautiful. Has a great little cadenza for the cello in the middle, which is, I just love.
We'll listen for that. It's the Berceuse, a cradle song from Jocelyn, the opera by Benjamin Godard. This is the Eroica Trio, including Sara Sant'Ambrogio, cello. Berceuse from Jocelyn by Godard. That was the Eroica Trio, and you heard the kind of the cameo solo there from my guest today, Sara Sant'Ambrogio, who is in Madison to perform the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1 with the Madison Symphony Friday night and Saturday night and also Sunday afternoon.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
And an all-French program, as we mentioned. So, worlds to conquer yet for you? You've got all this traveling with the Eroica Trio as a solo act and all of that. What's the next mountain to climb?
The next mountain to climb, actually, is I'm creating a television show, actually.
No kidding.
Yep, about classical music, actually. And so I've been... I've gotten a lot of interest in stations, and I'm just honing it. I think it could be super, super cool. And it's a, I think it's going to be fun, but also inspiring. And, you know, I think I'm noticing more and more that in our society, the pursuit of excellence does not seem to be supported as much as the pursuit of celebrity. And and often celebrity for no excellence or discernible talent whatsoever. And and so it feels like, you know, the loudest voices are the ones that get the most attention. And maybe it would be, I think it's time for us to start applauding excellence and the pursuit of excellence. And that the pursuit of excellence is actually incredibly fun, exhilarating, and exciting. And you're not doing it to try to be on the front page of the newspaper. You're doing it because actually achieving excellence is extraordinary and makes everything in your life feel better, more exciting, more exhilarating, and more fun. And so I just feel like any of us who believe that that's the direction we want our society to go in should start pushing that envelope and pushing that message out there.
So what are you going to do on this TV show?
Well, I can't really tell you because until it's out there, I don't want anybody to steal the idea.
there's always that danger, especially in showbiz.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm working on that. I'm also working on actually recording a Christmas jazz standards album with the cello taking the role of voice and with piano, drums, and double bass, stand-up bass.
That sounds jazzy, all right.
It was super fun. I did a number of shows last Christmas with this music and of my own arrangements and some other arrangements, and I'm just honing the different arrangements, and then we went into the studio, worked on a few of them, and then we just have to go back into the studio one more time and get that. So that'll be fun. That'll be not out for not this coming Christmas, but the one after. But these things take time.
Oh, they do. Yeah, yes, they do.
And then, you know, just playing concerts with the trio and playing concerts with myself, doing, you know, a lot of solo Bach concerts because I recorded all six suites.
Well, those things have really taken off, haven't they, since
1720.
They languished, you know, in obscurity for almost 200 years.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were lost to mankind until Pablo Casals found them in that used music shop in Paris. And just, they're, you know, six of the greatest achievements by mankind, and they are so amazing because they just, you know, on Friday night I was going to play a recital in New York City, and my Uber driver was Egyptian, and when I got in the car I put the cello in the back seat next to me, and he said, "I'm going to make a huge guess and guess that you're a musician." And I started laughing, and we started chatting, and he said, "I love classical music, you know," and he's listening to the radio in the car. We're listening to what's happening in Paris, at that point, there were 100 hostages in the theater, and it was just. And he said, "You know, at times like this, I turn to classical music because it's just balm for the soul." And I really feel that it is. And the six suites are particularly relevant today because they express basically the entire, all of the human condition, and in a way that has endless optimism and hope.
That's Bach, isn't it?
Yes,
you always
feel
the rent's going to get paid.
Yes, you always feel like it's going to have a happy ending, but it'll take you through that journey of grief and heartbreak and loss. But you won't, but then you come out of it with this optimistic ending, and you feel less alone, and you feel more positive about the possibility of life going on and progressing in a positive direction. So I love that. So I've been doing a lot of the Bach because I recorded all six suites, and I'm also doing actually next month I'm doing a number of all Chopin recitals because my latest album is called the Chopin Collection, and it's all cello and piano pieces by Frédéric Chopin, because the only instrument that Chopin wrote for other than piano was cello.
Yeah, and there's a handful of works, and if you come up with some transcriptions,
you've got a whole CD worth. Because his last great work was the Sonata for cello and piano. That's his last big work he wrote before he died. And then the Chopin Polonaise Brillante, which is a fantastic virtuose piece for both piano and cello. And then we have all these, because his best friend was this French cellist,
Franchomme.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so he encouraged him to arrange his nocturnes, waltzes, and etudes. And so it became sort of the thing to do was to arrange Chopin pieces for cello and piano. And some of them, I know, sacrilege. It's like, I feel that they are actually even more beautiful with cello than they are in the original piano. Because cello has the ability to create such a human voice.
Yes, that's right.
And with
warm,
the vibrato and the mm-hmm. and the sliding and the speed of how you move from note to note, you can say a volume of emotion in just one shift. You know, and you can't do that on piano because it's a percussive instrument. So it's got two etudes, two waltzes, two nocturnes, the Polonaise Brilliante, and the Sonata. And I am so proud. I think that's my best recording ever. I'm so proud of it.
That's out then.
And it's out. Yes, okay. The Washington Post called it one of the 10 best recordings of the year, which I was very excited by.
I don't know why. Well, if you can get us one, we'll play it tomorrow.
I will. Yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, taking us down to our quiz question, about 12:33 or so, we have something completely different. Well, not completely, but rather different from what we've heard so far. This is the third of the three preludes, originally for piano, mm-hmm. by Gershwin. And this is another Eroica Trio performance. Well, that was fun, as you promised, Sarah.
Yeah, that was such a blast to play. It's just super, super fun.
Well, thanks for stopping by today, and try not to make it another 5 years.
I know. Yeah, it was my pleasure, and I hope to be back much, much sooner next time.
She'll be back performing with the Madison Symphony this weekend, three concerts, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Saint-Saëns Cello Concerto No. 1 in an all-French program this weekend for the MSO.